get off on the confession offering. That means you agree with God what it was. You cross over the grace overpass, looking for him to meet you at the point of confession. You get back on the restoration on-ramp. And now you're headed in the right direction on your way home. Jesus told Peter point blank that he was going to deny his Lord. After an humiliating failure, he went fishing. He went back to his old way of life. Jesus knows the worst thing about you, but he knows the best thing about you too. It's not too late. If you've turned your back on God, he still has a job for you to do. He's just waiting for you to answer his call. Explosion gets a lot of attention. People watch them because they are a spectacle. And if you haven't been in one, you've seen one, even in the lives of people. We've seen people that we know, loved, respected, heard about, fall to the ground. We've seen careers dismantled, ministries torn apart, families shattered, personal lives become a catastrophe because there's been an implosion. And there's so much rubble when there's an implosion that it doesn't look like you can do much with this. It's just too messy. It's too painful. And it lasts so long. Such was the situation with Peter. He saw his world implode. For 3 years, he had been marching with Jesus. Now, he wasn't always saying the right thing. Some people say Peter wore peppermint socks the way he loved to keep his foot in his mouth, but he was unquestionably the leader. And Jesus told him, "You're my man. You're going to open the doors of the church. You're going to lead the way. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter. But my Father who is in heaven, he talked directly to you on that. Peter, you are the man. You are the man." But then in Luke 22, Jesus is talking to his disciples in anticipation of the cross. He says, "Simon, Simon." When God calls your name twice, it's going to be deep. "Simon, Simon, behold, pay attention, hear me out. Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat." Translation, to jack you up. Satan has asked permission to mess you up. Now, Satan can only get permission if he's got something to jack you up with. In other words, he has to have a basis. There's got to be something wrong for him to be the accuser of the brethren to use against you. Yeah. And there are probably not too many people where Satan doesn't have something on them, where he doesn't have something that he knows about. And maybe just you and he know about it, but he knows about it and he wants to use it to jack you up, to implode you. We all know what it feels like to have that thing or those things that jeopardize the standing that we have or that people believe we have. He says, "Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you." Oh, that's a whole nother message, but that's the intercession of Jesus Christ where he steps in on our behalf. And I'm praying that your faith fail not. I'm praying that you don't stop believing and don't stop trusting. Follow this. Satan wants to jack you up. He wants to use some stuff against you. He's the accuser of the brethren. But while he's trying to get permission, by the way, you need to know that Satan can only do to you what he's been permitted to do. Yeah. If you belong to God, he has even got to get permission to jack you up. So he says, but I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. And notice what he says in verse 32. This blows my mind. And you, Peter, when once you have turned again, that means be converted, strengthen your brethren. Oh, my goodness. Translation. Satan plans to jack you up. I'm praying for you. And when you turn again, because he is going to jack you up, we're going to give him permission. Watch that. Because in order to turn again, you had to turn the first time. Satan has asked permission to mess you up. I'm just praying that your faith fail not, because he's going to mess with you. But when you turn back around, use what you went through to help somebody else. Yes. Strengthen your brethren. Yes. So if the devil is messing with you, God had to okay it. Why would God okay the devil messing with you or me? To reveal something in our lives that needs to be addressed. And since we have not addressed it on our own, God wants to help a brother out. He wants to HBO you. He wants to help a brother out. He wants to help a sister out. He wants to do something that will reveal what needs to be addressed so it can get addressed. If we really knew everything that was inside of us, we wouldn't be shocked when we do some of the things we do, say some of the things we say, or think some of the things we think. It was always there. It just needed the right situation to bring it out. Satan has asked permission. But when you are converted, when you turn, so I like this because he prophesies the defeat, but he also prophesies the victory. He said, you're going to have victory. So when you turn, I want you to know in advance of your turning, it's not too late. Because you're going to get the turn back around. Isn't it good to know, even before you messed up, before you blew it, that God is promising you it's not too late? I'm glad to know that on the front end. What was it about Peter that gave Satan entrance or access to his life? But Peter said to him, because remember, Peter liked to talk, Lord, with you, I am ready to go both to prison and to death. There it is, right there. Oops, there it is. There it is. Translation, verse 34, shut up. Just shut up, Peter. I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied me three times. You talk about prophesying a defeat. I'm going to tell you when it's going to happen. It's going to happen before the rooster crows. So before tomorrow morning this time, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to deny me. And I'm going to tell you how many times you're going to do it. Three times. Now, I don't know about you.
I know.
I don't know about you. But I would have found me a Holiday Inn. A Ramada Inn, I would have found me an Omni, I would have found me some place. I would have had some folk in front of the door, I probably would have had somebody in the room to prove my point. God, I know what I'm talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to deny you before tomorrow. That's less than 24 hours. You mean to tell me a brother can't hold out for 24 hours? Jesus predicted when, where, how much. And Satan is asked if you like we, because he knows your pride. He knows you thinking more of yourself than you ought to think. He knows you think you missed the big stuff. He knows you thinking that you can do this on your own. And he's asked permission, and we've okayed it because there's something in you we got to fix. and we're going to let him bring it out. You're going to deny me three times. The theological word for that is apostasy. Apostasy is the public denial of Jesus Christ. And you're going to do it. It's kind of the worst sin you could ever commit, to go public and say, I don't know him. I disassociate with him. I don't want to be associated with him. Going to deny me three times. So Peter's ready to go. But we know the story. An implosion. The slave girl says, this is the guy, verse 17. You're the one who was with him. Peter said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. You'd have mistaken me. I know we all look alike, but I wasn't the one with him. Now the slaves and the officers were standing there, having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold, and they were warming themselves. And Peter was also with them, standing with them. I don't know him, verse 25. He's standing warming himself. You're the one of his disciples. He said, I am not. One of the slaves said, didn't I see you with him in the garden? Peter denied it again. One of the other virgins says, with cursing. I told you I don't blankety 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 know the man. I don't know the man. Now before he probably would say, I don't cuss. We put him in the right situation and bleep, 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 bleep comes out. I told you I don't blankety blank know the man. Because you cuss when you want to be emphatic about an issue. I mean, I ain't just saying I don't know him. I told you I don't know him. Peter denied it again, verse 27, and immediately the rooster crowed. Because Jesus knows what he's talking about. So God will allow the devil to implode you, to reveal something to you, about you, that he wants to use later on, while at the same time in advance telling you it's not too late. If your life is imploded right now, because you did something you thought you'd never do. You said something you thought you'd never say. You acted in a way you thought was foreign to how you were raised, to the belief system you have, to the church commitment, to the commitment to the Lord, and you've blown it. It doesn't excuse the blowing of it. But it lets you know that if God still loves you in advance of you doing it.
We'll return for more of today's message right after this special announcement. Dr. Evans.
Hello, friends. This is Tony and Lois Evans with The Urban Alternative, and we want to invite you to join us on the Cruise of a Lifetime. It's the Canada-New England Cruise, June 25th through July 2nd. It's going to be a great time for us to gather with all of the friends of the Ministry of The Urban Alternative, and the exciting time we're going to have getting to know you getting to know us on this special, special occasion.
We're going to rest and refocus.
Recommit.
There you go. We're looking forward to seeing you. Join us. It's going to be a really special time with our family. You're going
Absolutely.
To talk about our guests.
My yeah. son, Anthony Evans, will be doing music. My daughter, Priscilla Shire, now the actress,
yeah.
will be also ministering. And then Martha Menizzi will be ministering in song. I'll have the opportunity to share God's word with you. So it's kind of like a great time with the Evans clan and more. And then all the other stops and the activities on the ship. It's going to be just a marvelous time. What I love about it is the theme. It's just
breathe.
We want you to relax and enjoy your time with us, our time with you, June 25th through July 2nd, 2016. Go on TonyEvans.org, and they will give you the details on how to register you and your loved ones to join us and our family on our cruise. Looking forward to you joining us.
God bless you.
We now return to today's message.
The Bible says that when Peter did this, he wept bitterly. He wailed. In other words, he wailed. He cried out, ah! It says he remembered Jesus' words. He couldn't even remember for 24 hours. And the cock crowed because he was put under pressure. See, it's pressure. It was pressure. You know him. And he knew that meant he might have to suffer with him. But he had just said, I'll die with you. He meant later, 50 years from now, not now. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. I didn't think I was going to have to deal with it tomorrow. You know? He implodes. Chapter 21 of John. Verse 2. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. Simon Peter, verse 3, said to them, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old job. I'm going back. Can't do this Christian thing anymore. Can't do this following Jesus thing anymore. Can't do this loving God thing anymore. I can't do it anymore. Look at what I've done. I failed him at the most important moment of my life. When I had the greatest opportunity to stand and lead the disciples and make my commitment strong, I blew it. I'm going fishing. He had given up his career for Jesus. I'm going back. We all know people who've gone back. Gone back to the world, gone back to their old ways. Because look at what I've done. Look at how I've failed. Look at me. When day was breaking, verse 4 says, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus is on the beach, but they don't know it's him. Children, verse 5 says, you do not have any fish, do you? They answered, no. No, we've caught. They don't know what it is, but we haven't caught. Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find a catch. So they cast it, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number. Therefore, the disciple that Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. So Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, threw himself into the sea. Now, you can't appreciate that unless you remember Luke 5.
Yes.
See, it just looks like a story here, but the connection is Luke 5. Mm-hmm. That's when Jesus first met Peter. Peter had come in from fishing. Peter hadn't caught anything. Jesus says to him in Luke chapter 5, caught anything? He says, no. He says, well, why don't you cast your net on this side of the boat? Peter said, you don't get it, Jesus. We've been fishing all night and have caught nothing. You know preaching, we know fishing, and you're out of your realm. Stick to preaching, Jesus. Let us handle the fish. He told them to go out to the deep. Well, at night, that's not where you fish in the Sea of Galilee. You fish in the shallow. And they don't bite during the day. They bite at night. That's why he says we've been out all night and have caught nothing. So you don't know where we should fish. You don't know when we should fish. You don't know what you're talking about. And I know a lot of Peters who regularly tell Jesus in one way or another, you don't know what you're talking about. They will argue against God, God's word, and the Bible all day. Sounds good, but Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about. But to humor you, just to let you know, we know fishing and you may know theology. We're going to do this. The Bible says that the boat was about to sink because there were so many fish. There were so many fish. The boat was about to sink, and Peter comes and throws himself before Jesus and says, I am a sinful man. I've blown it because I wasn't believing anything was going to happen. I didn't believe you. I'm a sinner. Along the way, though, he gave up his fishing. He caught enough fish to build him a condo on the Galilee. But Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He left his career for Jesus. By the way, the fish, that's how he got funded in his ministry. You know, all those fish, he didn't let them dry. He sold them bad boys. And he did not know dummy now. But he goes to follow Jesus. What he forgot is that he was a sinner. See? God had to remind him, children, have you caught anything? No. Now they catch something. It's Peter. Peter jumps in the water. He makes his way. Verse 9. Somebody say verse 9.
Verse 9.
So when they got out into the land, They saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't get this. The boat has not come in with the fish yet. So how that fish get on that frying pan? Jesus is cooking breakfast. Fish and bread. Watch this now. Around a charcoal fire. The word charcoal is only used 2 times in the New Testament. It's used here and it's used in chapter 18, verse 18, and it says Peter was warming his hands over a charcoal fire. Somebody feel me right now. I can tell. He was warming his hands, not over fire, he could have just said fire. He could have said Jesus was cooking fish. He wants to point out he was doing it over a charcoal fire because Jesus is getting ready to reenact his failure. And he's going to reenact it with the same situation he was in with his denial. He's going to take him back to the place of his failure. Why? He's going to take him back there so he can deal with it, so he can get a recall. Because when you turn, I got a job for you to do. So Jesus is over a charcoal fire, and Jesus is cooking breakfast. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Last time we talked, you loved me more than everybody. I was your man, and you said everybody else might deny me, but you're going to be there. You still feel the same way, Peter? I like the fact he calls him Simon. Simon, do you love me? Now, that was his original name. Simon means pebble. But when Jesus promoted him in Matthew 16, he says, I'm not going to call you Simon, son of John. I'm going to call you Peter. Peter means stone. So he took him from a pebble and made him a stone. But since his denial, he a pebble again. You Simon right now. Okay? Because you didn't regress. Do you love me? The Greek word for love is agape. God's love, self-sacrificial love. Because you said you go to prison and die for me. Do you go to prison and die for me now, Peter? Peter answers and says, Lord, you know that I love you. Different Greek word. Jesus said, do you agape me? He says, I phileo you. Phileo, Philadelphia, brotherly love. I like you. You ain't getting me out there on that I love you stuff no more. I got out there. I was going to sacrifice for you and all that. I ain't going there no more. Peter, do you agape me? No, I like you. I am not going to risk what I went through before because I done learned enough to know that I can't open my big mouth and say things I'm not prepared to say. So I'm going to stick with like you. You my brother. I ain't going to deal with all that love stuff. Well, look at what Jesus says. Tend my lambs. It's time to go back in the ministry.
Yeah.
You would have thought he would have called him back in the ministry if he said, I'm now rising to the point of loving you. He said, no, I'm going to be honest. And I'm not going to try to be super spiritual when I know I'm not. I'm not going to pretend to be this, now I can use you. Because you're not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Now you're thinking realistically, so now I can use you. You in your place. He asked him a second time, Simon, son of John, verse 16, do you agape me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. He still won't go to that word. He not only gets called back into ministry, tend my lambs, he gets a promotion, shepherd my sheep. These things have grown up now. We got adults. We're going to start you off in children's ministry. Lambs. But because you're still in your place, we're going to promote you to handling sheep. He comes again. He says to him in verse 17, Simon, son of John, do you love me? But this time, Jesus' word is phileo. All translated love, but the Greek word in the third time he asked him isn't agape, it's phileo. Do you like me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" How many times did Peter deny him?
Three.
How many times did Jesus say, "Do you love me?"
Three.
Because he's taking him back to the charcoal fire. You denied me three times?
Yeah.
Let's see if you can affirm me three times.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make it easy for you because I'm going to accept what you can give me. Phileo, and at the third time, I'm going to join you at that level.
Yeah.
Do you phileo me?
Yeah.
So we're now on the same page. I started up here. You said I'm here. I stayed up here. You stayed here. So I'm going to join you here, and I'm going to bring you up there. It's not too late for God to meet you where you are, even in your implosion, and take you to where he wants you to be. It's not too late for Jesus to cook breakfast for you. Jesus is walking on the beach of your heart, wanting to know, can he cook you breakfast? Even though you've gone backwards. I wonder if there's anybody here who's gone fishing. You said, "I can't go with this Jesus thing anymore because look at the mess I've made." And I made it publicly. I made it in front of sinners and saints. The disciples saw me deny him. The sinners saw me deny him. That's as bad as you can get. And Jesus says, "I got some breakfast. You want to eat something? But while we eat, we're going to talk. And we're going to go back to the charcoal fire. We're not going to skip it. We're going to face it. We're going to be forgiven for it." You come to God clean. I liken it to going down a highway. You get off on the confession off ramp. That means you agree with God what it was. You cross over the grace overpass, looking for him to meet you at the point of confession. You get back on the restoration on ramp. And now you're headed in the right direction on your way home. If you will agree with God, "Yes, I failed. And no, I don't love you like I talk about, like I speak about. I give you the permission to meet me right here." One of my favorite biblical characters is Peter. Peter is a guy who liked to talk a lot, so that's why I identify with him. Sometimes he was right and sometimes he was wrong. And he got really wrong when his pride rose up and he had to leave the ministry. But he got redeemed, he got restored, and he opened up the church on the day of Pentecost. It doesn't get any better than that to see that God can restore you from the bottom back up to the top in accordance with his will. And he wants to restore you if you need restoration or use you to restore somebody else. So I want you to get a copy of the book, It's Not Too Late, which will show you many biblical characters that God restored because they got right with him. And you know somebody who needs restoration, or you may need it yourself. This book is just for you. It's not too late for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of The Alternative so we can keep coming your way. Contact us at 1-800-800-3222 or log on to TonyEvans.org and get your copy of It's Not Too Late. Thank you for your generosity. We need it because the ministry needs to go forth. God bless you. Look forward to being with you again next week.